Hebrews chapter 13. Now, if you'll look here with me, we'll read verse 18 and 19, our text this morning. Hebrews 13, verse 18. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. But I beseech you the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now, it appears here that the Apostle Paul, when he says this, he is practicing what he just exhorted the brethren to do. You see back there in verse 17 that we saw last time, obey them that have the rule over you. We said that was an inward spirit of obedience, an inward willingness. And then submit yourselves. That was the outward carrying through of that which is begun in the heart. And it says them that have the rule over you. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ has the rule over Paul. And so he says here, we trust we have a good conscience. He's talking about that inward obedience. We trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly or to behave well outwardly. And then he says, but we beseech you the rather. It's not that conscience and that inward willingness that Paul has that he's saying, I beseech you to pray for. But we beseech you the rather to do this, to pray for us that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now, here's what it appears that Paul is saying. We trust our conscience is pure in God's sight, that we're willing to submit outwardly to whatever God will have us to do. And we beseech you, therefore, to pray for us that we may be restored with the fullness of His grace so that we can make a straight course in submitting to Him and coming to you. Now, let me tell you where I get that. This word, the sooner, it would probably be better interpreted rather than a statement of time, meaning we'll get there quicker than we would if you didn't pray for us. It should probably be translated a straight course. You remember whenever the Apostle Paul was heading out on his second trip to go out and preach the gospel, and he was determined to go to a couple of places, but the Holy Spirit forbid him to go there. But then the Lord gave him a vision of a man in Macedonia praying for him to come there. And the scripture says, and after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering. The Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them, and therefore we came with a straight course. He's saying here, I think, that Paul is asking them, pray for us that we may assuredly gather where it is the Lord would send us, and that we might be restored to go there and make a straight course there to do His will. Now, I want to point out a few things to you this morning. First of all, I want you to see the manner in which Paul prayed. Paul said here, if it be the Lord's will. Do you see that in verse 10? I'm sorry. Do you see it there in verse 19, but I beseech you the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. You know the difference between the word can and the word may. If you can do something, only you know if you have the ability to do it. But when you have someone that has the rule over you, it has authority over you, you ask them if you may do something. You have a permission. And so that's what Paul is saying here. Pray for us so that with assurance, if it's the Lord's will, we may be restored to you with a straight course. Then look at the second thing here. Motive. At the second thing is motive. Paul's motive, and I use that for lack of a better term, Paul's motive here was the glory of God, of God's Son, and of the church. If you go through the scriptures and you study Paul's prayer requests, when he says, pray for us, you'll find it to be this. In Ephesians 6:19, he was requesting prayer, and he said, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. In Colossians chapter 4 and verse 3, he says, pray also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, or a willing bondservant. 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 1, he says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. So his motive is, if it's the Lord's will, if I may come to you. And the motive is that God's gospel be preached, that the gospel of Christ be set forth, so that Christ's people be edified. Now, look with me at Romans chapter 15. Romans 15, and I want you to see this one. It says the same thing, but this one is just so full of this, what I'm calling here the manner and the motive. I want you to see it with me. Romans 15, verse 30. Romans 15, 30. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake. There's his motive. You see that? And for the love of the Spirit. There's his motive. That ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may, there's that manner again, that I may be delivered. Who's going to deliver him? God's going to deliver him. Christ's going to deliver him. A straight course. Set him on a straight course. Take out all the hindrances from him. That I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea. And that my service which I have for Jerusalem may, there's that manner again, if it's the Lord's will, my service be accepted of the saints. That I may, there he is again, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God. And may, there it is again, with you be refreshed. Five times here, Paul reminds them to pray if it be the Lord's will. And the whole motive was, is that I might be able to be set on a straight course to come preach the gospel. Now, back in our text there, this word restored teaches us a great deal. I looked that word up, and in each case that I saw, this word restored has to do with Christ. And let me give you, I'll just read these scriptures to you. You have your outline there. You can look them up tonight at your leisure. But let me tell you what they are. There was a blind man that the Lord took him out of the city, and the Lord plugged up his ears and put some spit on his eyes. And it says, and he asked him what he saw, and it says that man said, I see men as trees. They were blurry to him. And then he did it again, and after that he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. This is an example of Christ giving someone spiritual sight, and their sight being restored. That which they lost in the fall in Adam is being restored, that they may see clearly. And who do we see? We see Christ. And then it's used again in Galatians 6:1, and the word is, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. If a man's overtaken in a fault, our fault is when we don't see Christ, when we're removed from Christ because of our infirmities or this world or our sin or our rebellion. And it says, you which are spiritual, restore such a one. Restore him where? It's not a where, it's to whom, it's to Christ. And then in Numbers 35:25, it says, "And the congregation shall deliver the slayer out of the hand of the revenger of blood, and the congregation shall restore him to the city of his refuge." That city of refuge, if a man killed somebody and the revenger of blood was going to take vengeance on him and kill him, that man had but one option, and that was to flee to the city of refuge. And the word here is for the congregation to restore him to that city of refuge. Take him to that city of refuge. That city of refuge is Christ. So we have three instances here of this word restored, and every one of them have their end in glorifying Christ and being brought to see him and to behold him. So if Paul will be restored, it's going to be by Christ, because he's our help in time of need. If Paul's going to be restored, it's going to be in Christ, because he's our bread and our strength. And if Paul will be restored, it's going to be for Christ, because when he gets to them with the gospel, it's going to be, "I was determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." And so how will that be a restoration unto them? Why does he say that I may be restored unto you? Because if he's restored personally, by Christ, in Christ, and for Christ, when he gets to them, it'll be a restoring for them, because it'll be by Christ, in Christ, and for Christ. You see that? Now, I've got one more thing I want to show you here. The reason that he beseeches them to pray, the reason that we pray. In Ezekiel 36, the Lord said, it says this, Ezekiel 36:33. "Thus saith the Lord God, in the day that I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquities, I will also cause you to dwell in the cities, and the wastes shall be builded." And then he gives a whole list in great detail of things that he's going to do in building the waste places and restoring the people. He gives a whole list of things he's going to do. And then he says this, "Thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them." In other words, I'm going to do this, God said. But the house of Israel is going to ask me to do this. They're going to inquire of me to do this. Now let me tell you something. Those men and women who were sitting there, they didn't know, they didn't have any idea the intricate details of how God was going to do what he was going to do, or really specifically of what he was going to do. But they did know this. They did know that everything that he did was going to be done by him. It was going to be the pouring out of grace upon his people. It was going to be to glorify his name. It was going to be to save them from their enemies. It was going to be for their edification. And it was going to bring them to rejoice only in him. And this is what God makes us to realize we need. No matter what the specific details are, these are the general, particular things that God always makes us understand we need. We need him to do his will. We need grace. We need mercy. We need his name to be set forth, honored, and glorified. We need that, because we need to be edified, and only he can edify us. We need Christ to be exalted in our midst. We need more grace continually. And when he brings us, he says, "But yet I'm going to be inquired of for these things." You're going to inquire of me. You're going to ask me for these things. Why is that a good thing? Because God requires us to ask him, because then we are continually reminded that inward obedience and outward submission is something that only God can create. You have this happen in your houses sometimes. You have to ask mom and dad for something that you want, or something you need. And sometimes we get to asking things, and mom and dad begin to give us the things we want or the things we need, and every time we ask it, and we get a little full of ourselves. And so we start asking, but we're not really asking, we're really demanding it. And your father will say, ask me that again. Stop now and ask me that again. And this time, ask me like you really believe I'm the only one that can give it to you. Well, God will make us ask Him and inquire of Him, and He'll make us inquire of Him, meaning it, knowing, assured that only He can give it. And He will withhold the thing until we ask Him that way, until we come to Him to asking Him. That's what true prayer is. True prayer is an inward obedience, and it is the outward submission of us coming before God's throne at His feet and asking Him, because we can't provide for ourselves. We have to have it from Him. I was thinking about this when I was preparing this, and I thought, you know, let me set this forth for you about what I have to go through when I'm wanting to try to prepare a message like this and bring it to you. Everybody listen. First thing I have to do is, and I don't always do this, I say I have to do it because if I'm going to get a word from God, I have to do this. But I don't always do it. Foolishly, I don't always do it. But the first thing I have to do is I have to ask God before I ever even open this book. I have to ask Him to clear my mind, clear my thoughts, get the world out of my heart, out of my attention, so that I can look into this word and try to hear, give my full attention to hearing what He's saying. Then I begin, and I always include in that prayer that I'm desirous of a message from God for you for this hour right now. And only God knows what this word says. Only God knows. We have a tendency to open this book and go to looking on our shelves and finding all these commentaries of what men in the past wrote. And there's some helpful commentaries out there that'll help you. But brethren, we have a direct access to the one who wrote this book. And we have a direct access to the one who knows the hearts of His people. And He knows what His people need. And so we can go to this scripture and ask God Himself, by Christ Jesus the Lord and what He accomplished, we can go directly to His throne of grace and ask Him, Lord, what does this mean? What does this mean? So I have to ask Him for that first. And then I get to studying, and He shows me something in His Word. And I get excited. It blesses my heart, and I'm thrilled by it. And if I'm not careful, this is what I'll do. I'll get up and get to walking around the house, and I'll get to preaching it to the air, and I'll just be so happy about it. I might pick up the phone and call a brother or sister and talk to them about it and tell them what I saw, and we both talk about it. And next thing you know, I've completely stopped studying, and I've just sat back, and I'm just feeding on what I got, but I don't continue. I just stop. And so I have to, as soon as I start rejoicing in something, I find myself having to thank Him, pour out my heart to Him, thank Him, and ask Him to keep me focused, keep me looking, keep me staying the course in this thing. Well, then I get tired. It doesn't take long. I can read this book right here, and if you want to fall asleep, just open up this book, start reading it. The flesh just is weary against everything about God. And I get weary, I get tired, and I have to pray to Him and ask Him, Lord, strengthen me, keep me here, keep me going, strengthen me, keep me going for Your honor, for Your glory, to edify Your people. And then, once I've got the message, and I got it all prepared, then I got to ask God, Lord, would You give me the grace now to go and stand up and deliver it to the people? Would You speak from Your throne of grace into my heart, into their heart this hour? Lord, will You do that? I had to ask Him. He's going to be inquired of for these things. And then once I've delivered it to You, it's not over. Then I have to ask him, Lord, would you keep me from being lifted up in pride? Keep me from going home and thinking what a good job I've done. Teach me that after everything, I'm still an unprofitable servant, that this is all by your grace. Because if not, when tomorrow comes around and it's time to start all over again, I'll be so proud of what I've done, I'll pick up this book as if I don't even need God and start looking into it to try to find a message that only He can give. So it's a continual, and that's an example I thought might help you to show you that in anything you do in this world, He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That means at the beginning, all throughout, and all the way to the end, be continually asking Him, Lord, will you restore me? Lord, will you keep me if it's your will? Will you teach me so that I might make a straight course with this good news? That it might be for your glory, that it might be for the edification of your people, that you might give me grace to do it. And I don't really find anything in this scripture that tells us, anything in this whole word that tells us we're here as believers for any other reason. So I wonder why we pray for these other things. This is the only reason that this word says we're here for. The only sole purpose that we're here for. So I say to you, I trust that from a heart of obedience, I'm willing to submit outwardly to whatever God would have me to do for you. But I beseech you the rather to pray for me that if it be the Lord's will, He will restore me with the fullness of His grace so that I might make a straight course to you with this gospel.